to navigate with me to the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm sorry, prophecy of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29. Brother Lambert, I think someone came into the best field. They want to come in, they can come in before I start reading the scripture. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 29. There's a word here from the Lord. There's someone in here today. Because what pastor had to go through to birth this one. I know that someone must really need this. And if they didn't, maybe it's just for me. Amen. Yeah. Everyone with me?
Yes.
Amen. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, I ask in your name in all the earth. Father God, once again another time, that we stand behind this holy rock to proclaim your word. Father God, we know that you have deposited your gifts into earthen vessels. You know the gifts, oh Father God, are all without repentance. And we thank you for that. Because we're not even worthy to stand and proclaim your word.
Yes.
But Father God, you look beyond mortal man and woman and you see our needs and you use us in spite of ourselves.
Yes.
And we thank you.
Thank you.
We love being used by you. Father God, every day we ask you to give us the strength so we live our lives and walk in such a manner that we are being more available for you.
Yes,
but right now it's preaching and teaching time. And we are unable to do this by ourselves. So we ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to come on in and exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Father God, I don't know who this is for, what your people need. But I ask, oh God, that you make this a rhema, tailor-made word, fit for their circumstance and situation, whatever circumstance or situation they may be in at this present time.
Yes, yes.
Father God, touch their minds, anoint their minds afresh, anoint their receipt in the place. Father God, bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. Father God, allow me to preach it like you want it to be uttered right now. Allow me to deposit and restore and deposit it to them and give it and transfer the information to them that you want them to have.
Yes.
Allow me, oh Father God, with your help, I cannot do it by myself. But I make it plain enough so that a child can understand it.
Yes.
Right now in the name of Jesus. Give us a good time in you, oh God.
Yes, sir.
Right now. You never failed us before. We ask that you don't fail us now. Because we know failure is not an option for you.
Yes.
Oh, Father God, we ask to just have your way in this place today.
Yes.
Give us a good time in you, oh God.
Yes.
Oh, Father God, let your word go forward and accomplish that which you sent it out to do. You said your word would not return unto you void.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, I don't speak this for myself, but I speak it for you and ask you to let me sit down so you can stand up.
Yes.
Right now, what is ever accomplished in this setting, oh Heavenly Father, we will be careful to give you, oh God, the honor, the praise, and the glory.
Yes.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord. For your people hear it. The prophecy according to Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at the fourth verse. I'm going to shine a sermonic spotlight between verses 4 and 14. Amen?
Amen.
I will be reading to you this morning out of the New King James Version. Follow along with me in your Bible or your smart devices this morning. Hear ye what the word of the Lord says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons. And give your daughters to husbands, so they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. Are y'all listening to the word?
Amen.
Amen.
and pray to the Lord for it. For it is peace, you will have peace. But thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst, talking about the preachers now, y'all, in the midst, deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. Yes. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Have mercy.
Yes.
And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your hearts. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. I like to put a tag on this text. Just for a little short while with your prayers, y'all. What to do until you get through.
Amen.
And take your seats in the presence of the Lord. What to do until you get through. My brothers and sisters, as Bible students, I pray that you are fully aware. One of the great dangers of those who would teach, preach, and try to interpret Scripture is you got to be careful of those who would try to interpret any passage of God's Word without giving due attention to the historical context in which that word is written. That in essence, it's a crime of the academy and a violation of all that is taught in seminary to try to anesthetize a scripture and remove it from the historical context that caused its creation. In a way, it's kind of like trying to understand Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech without knowing anything about civil rights. That is rooted in historically that gives accurate interpretation to what God is trying to speak. Professor Wesley Wildman of Boston University, some of whose work I've read a lot of, argue that in Scripture, although there are many things that happen historically, there are three critical events, Sister Thomas, that anchor all Scripture. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Wildman suggests that 80% of Scripture deals with, talks about, or tries to understand in some way three critical moments and events that happen that really ground and anchor all of Scripture. And if you are not familiar with these three events, you will always interpret or misinterpret what God is saying and what God is doing. Are you with me, church? Walk with Pastor. It says, whether it be the Psalms or the prophets, whether it be the law or the gospels, whether it be the history, the reality is that all of Scripture rotates and revolves around three critical moments and movements in history. The first one should not surprise you. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You cannot correctly begin to understand God's word without an understanding of what God is doing on the cross of Calvary. Yeah. That all of the prophets were making their way towards Calvary. I mean, all the prophets in the Bible, all the books of the Bible are making its way towards Calvary. The gospel helps us understand the life of the one who would die. And the remaining part of the New Testament gives us an explanation of what it means to walk in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. The second event that anchors scripture, other than the death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, is an event known as the Exodus. That great movement and freedom, God, that comes to us in the second book of the Bible, where we encounter a God that hears the cry of his children, a God who moves against political systems and ideology to bring deliverance and freedom to those who are enslaved. A God who shows up at the Red Sea to make a way out of no way, proving that he can do anything but fail. A God who forms a covenant with a body of people to let them know they are his chosen, then begins to move them to a place of promise to show even when we are not faithful, he is faithful to do what God said he would perform. So you have the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then you got the Exodus. And the third event that really anchors and grounds all of scripture, watch me all, is something that happens in 597 BC. BC means before Christ. Called the Babylonian Exile. It is in 597 BC, under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, that the Babylonians come in and conquer the southern kingdom called Judah and destroy the capital city known as Jerusalem. In this time, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians destroyed the sovereignty of Israel in 597 BC, and Israel would not regain sovereignty over that land until 1948, some 65 years ago. From 597 to 1948, they have been a displaced people who did not have sovereign control over the land. Are y'all with me? The Lord had given them. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians come in and destroy Jerusalem. And the reason it is called the exile, not only did they destroy Jerusalem, but they lay hold, Sister Philia, onto 4,600 Jews and export or exile them to live in Babylon under the hand of the enemy that destroyed their homeland. You need to know, it was per the customs of Babylonians when they conquered a nation. Watch me now. White people did it to black people. They did not just take anybody. They took the cream of the crop, the talented tiff, the intellectual, and the artistic, and the philosophical, and the laborer, and the entrepreneur. They grabbed the best of the best from Jerusalem and left the remaining remnant in the city, while 4,600 Jews were exiled to Babylon to live as Babylonian citizens. This is what all scriptures anchored in this. Y'all with me, right? In essence, they took from Jerusalem all the human resources necessary to rebuild the city. There's too much information. This is going to be part one, Sister Tom. How about that? We're going to finish after Backlash Sunday. Because I'm not going to cut nothing off. I laid it too long on this one. You need to know it, y'all. You need to know what to do until you get through. In essence, they took from Jerusalem all human resources necessary to rebuild the city. Although it was rough for the remnant of Jews who remained in Jerusalem, the reality is it was tougher for the exiles who lived in Babylon. For this was an era in which there was no CNN on the ground. There was no Twitter tweet. There was no false Facebook to post a post to see what was happening in Jerusalem.
Right.
There was no Instagram to give them pictures.
Yeah.
So they had to wait for word of mouth to find out what happened in Jerusalem. And slowly word trickled from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon that the city had been destroyed. The temple had been burned. And it left them with questions that were unanswered. What was the fate of loved ones still in Jerusalem? What happened to personal property and possessions and so on? Here are a people exiled in Babylon who are worried and wondering about the fate of their homeland, who are saddened and sorrowful about the destruction of their city. And to make matters worse, they are now living in hostile enemy territory. They are living with the Babylonians, having to learn people they don't like, adjust the food they are not accustomed to, to wander through a city they know not of, to work jobs they have no experience in, to learn a language they do not speak, to be in a religious system that does not worship the God of their fathers. The only glimmer of hope they had, the only thing that kept them from going under, the only thing that made them feel like if they could endure, y'all, that they had three prophets.
All right.
Their name was Ahab, Zedekiah, and Hananiah. These three prophets gave the exiles some hope. Watch this now. By telling them that the Lord says that exile will only last 2 years. They filled these exiles with hope that in 24 months, the Lord will deliver you out of Babylon. If you hold on to God for 2 years, you will be back in Jerusalem. God will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar from around your neck. God will destroy the Babylonians. It's only going to take 2 years. So these exiles have some glimmer of hope that if they can just hold on for 2 years, everything will be all right. That is until they get this letter from Jeremiah. The real prophet, yeah. That is recorded to us in chapter 29. And let me make a note here very quickly, y'all. We might say, well, they weren't real prophets. They were. They were God's prophets. Well, they were so off and misinterpreting this word, they was giving the wrong word. They were doing their own thing. And they probably had a lot of full churches, too. But the word was all wrong. It was telling people what they wanted to hear. That'll help you make it through what you're going through, hear what you want to hear. You need to hear what God says you need to hear. It might be tight, but it's got to be right. Till they get this letter from Jeremiah, recorded to us in chapter 29. For it is here that Jeremiah at the time writes to the, at the time, because some of them decided to die, 3,023 Jews that have been exiled. The letter simply goes like this. Y'all don't have to listen to Ahab, Zedekiah, and Hananiah. They are not speaking on behalf of God. The Lord told me to write to you, to tell you who are in exile, that it won't take 2 years, but it will take 70 years. Did y'all just hear that? It's not going to be 2 years, but 70. Before the Lord brings you out, I need you to stand in their shoes. They are saddened and sorrowful about the destruction of Jerusalem. They are wondering and worrying about the fate of loved ones. They are adjusting and adapting to living in hostile enemy territory. And the only hope they had was it would not be long before they get out of here. And now the word of the Lord that comes to them to the prophet Jeremiah saying, this is not going to be a walk in the park. This is not going to change one prayer, one praise service. This is going to last 70 years. What do you do when you find yourself in an exilic existence? You're in a place in life you never thought you would land in. You find out that the season you are in will not go away quickly. That this burden will not be lifted automatically. What do you do when you begin to realize, baby, it may get worse before it gets any better? It's about to get dark, and no matter how much you pray and beg, this season you are about to go through will be the worst one of your life. The most complicated you have ever faced. What do you do since that God has declared you have to take this journey? He's not letting you out of it. He said you got to take it. You have to go through this walk, and it won't be quick. You wind up in places you did not think a saint should sink like you should end up. That's right. You go through stuff, you figure, I shouldn't have to go there. I'm coming to church, going to Bible study, going to Sunday school. I'm paying my tithe. What up, God? Living under the hand of folk you did not even like. You have been in a dark place in life and had a sense that it was going to be a dark place for a little while. Have you ever that feeling? What do you do when you're waiting on God to bring you out of the worst situation in your life? What do you do when you are waiting on God to remove the yoke off your neck? What do you do when you are begging God to do just to get you out of the mess that you are in? What do you do when the Lord is taking his sweet time to change the circumstance of your life? What do you do when God is not answering your prayer after you say amen? What do you do when you are in exile? Somebody say, that's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. What do I do when I'm going through all this? The Lord gives us some advice on what to do when we wind up in an exilic place. Dark seasons and struggles that are heavy and burdens that don't go away easy. The Lord says, there are a few things that I need you to do. And you find yourself in a place you don't want to be in your life. Are y'all with me? Can I share it with you? Number one, God told me to tell you, New Jerusalem, you always listen to me? Be productive in the midst of your predicament. Be productive in the midst of your predicament. I want you to learn to be productive no matter what you are going through. The Lord says it is going to be 70 years. It's going to be a long journey, a long haul. It's not going to go away easily. This is what I want you to do. Build some houses and live in them. Buy some furniture and settle down. This is what y'all want to hear pastors say, huh? Plant a garden and eat from your garden. Marry, have some kids. Make your kids have some kids. So that you will have some grandkids. Keep on living life, even though you are in an adverse situation. Can I preach your thing? You can pray. Keep on doing what you've been doing. Don't get over in by Babylon and decide you just gonna lay down and die. Because you're not in the environment you want to live in. Are y'all hearing me? That's real talk right here. Let's not snatch and pray and grab and claim it. Keep on doing what you've been doing. Get your hair done. Get your teeth fixed. Get your mani pedicure. Clean up in the morning. Get dressed and go to work. Put a smile on your face. Keep on doing what you've been doing. God says, I'll command you to increase while you are in Babylon. There's no reason for you to give up. I know it's dark, a dark place. I know you're in hostile territory. I know you don't want to be there, but I demand that you increase while you are there. Don't you diminish while you are there. Don't you get so depressed that you don't want to do what you are called to do. Don't you become sad and sorrowful that you don't try anymore. Give it the best you can and keep on increasing. Let me tell you why it's real. Because when we get in an exilic existence in a place we don't want to be, in a season we did not ask for, with the longevity we did not pray about, the tendency is to just throw up your hands. Because so frustrated, because you become frustrated by being in the hostile territory. That you no longer make an investment in your increase. Y'all just heard that word? Wow, y'all missed a shot. God said, boy, you're going through hell right now. You're going through hell. It don't look good. And you ain't coming out no time soon. I don't mean that you can't keep reading your Bible, keep learning about me. I mean you can't keep investing in your increase. Because I'm still God. I got thoughts towards you. Didn't the text say it? Thoughts of good things, not of evil. Oh, y'all hear me? I'm not getting ready to pull you out yet. I want you to exist in hell and high water. Didn't I tell you that you're going to go through the fire and you would not burn? Didn't I tell you the water may overcome you, but you will not drown? Yes. Didn't I tell you I'm your strong tower, your shield, and your buckler?
Yes, sir.
So why are you tripping and sweat? The birds don't trip. They get up every morning and say, tweet, tweet, tweet. They ain't got a worm yet, but they say, tweet, tweet, tweet. That's what these exiles are about. Because listen to this, y'all. This same group of saints that Jeremiah writes to are the same exiles, Brother Hudson, who wrote Psalms 137. In case you have not read it, I'll give it to you.
Amen.
Yes. Psalms 130 is written by some exiles in Babylon who came, when the Babylonians came to them and said, sing us one of them good praise and worship songs y'all used to sing.
All right.
The exile said, how can we sing the praise of our God in a foreign land?
Come on now.
What you said? I didn't fix their mouth to say that. They were the mindset because they were no longer in Israel. They could no longer praise God. God's word to them was, even though you are in a foreign land, I'm not a foreign God. Did God just hear me? Just because you got to go through a little something right now, I'm still God. I know you don't like it. I know you ain't get the job you want. I know you don't always have money. If it ain't one thing, it's another. But I'm still God. You don't like it, but I'm teaching you that I'm not a Santa Claus that sits on the top of the moon. I'm a cosmic bellhop waiting for you to ring my bell and come and bring you a Christmas gift. No. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith.
Yeah.
I'm orchestrating affairs in your life.
Yes.
I'm shaping and molding you.
Yeah.
I'm not here to give you everything you want. I'm just going to give you what you need. And before I give you what you need, I got to extricate and surgically remove some stuff out of you. They can no longer praise God. God's word then was, even though you are in a foreign land, wherever you are, that's where I am.
That's right.
God said, whatever you're going through, that's where I am. God said, you ought to be able to praise me in hostile situations. You don't have to be in perfect conditions for me to show that I am still God. I will still bless you. I will still multiply you and increase your territory. Don't you know we serve a God who can multiply you while you are in the enemy's presence?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
We serve a God, King Frodo, who likes to multiply us in the presence of our enemies. And I read that text, Sister Fear, and I'm trying to get around it because I don't like to go through stuff. But it tells me when I'm in the stuff, that's when he really likes to give me the hookup. So I don't know how to button up my loins and gird myself with the word of God. And when hell break loose in my, what you up to now, God? That's why David, the Bible records, David, the writer of the 23rd division of the Psalm, says, he prepares a table in the presence of mine enemies. I can be feasting in the presence of those who that hate me. I get to get out of here, God told me, to tell you, until, listen now, I'm done. To apply to the, y'all don't like me today.
Come on.
But I want to let you know, Sister Fina, that God is in the blessing business.
Yes. 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 Yes.
And I know you don't think that you're going to make it.
Yes.
But God told me, you're in the presence and you're making it. Because
yes.
I'm a God that operates under adverse conditions.
Yes.
God said, I know I created the sunshine and the blue sky. Yes, I did, Deacon Dre.
Yes,
he said, but I'm a God that moves and walks in hurricanes. When the wind is at hurricane speed and lightning is flashing and the thunder begins to roll, God said, that's when I move with my quiet hand. And I strengthen my people and I bless my people in the midst of a storm. And you need to remember, you are mine anointed.
Yeah.
And the world ought to touch not my prophet and do my anointed no harm.
Amen.
That's the word. I love that one.
Yes.
God told me, hey, I'm trying to tell you what to do until you get through.
Yes.
You never know. Praise God in spite of your circumstance, situation. Fix your face.
Yes.
Straighten up your mouth.
Yes.
Get rid of your attitude.
Because
yes. You got 70 on live. Can I get a witness here?
Yes.
And I've won. I know not much. I know so much about my God now. I sure don't want him to keep me here no longer than I gotta stay.
Yes.
So Sister Mumford, I'm trying to pass the test. The first time around. I'm too old now, Sister Nita. I can't time to take no more class. Some of y'all that's 30 and 40, and y'all got time to fool around. But guess what? I don't got time to retake no class.
All right.
Can I get it with this girl?
Yes,
I got to get it right the first time.
Yes.
Because I got to move to the next level real quick.
Yes.
Because I'm only really promised 7 years.
Look.
Yes. I'm only promised 7 years. Yes. And anything after that, Sister Nita, I'm on overtime.
Yes.
Try not to do my work while it's daylight. Change our perspective.
Yes.
And change our thinking.
Yes.
Because it ain't always about, excuse my grammar.
That's right.
I know I got a teacher sitting around, but she's going to tell me about it later. I know she It ain't all about getting out.
Yeah, all right.
But it's all about how you go through.
Yes.
Can I get with you? You got to take the test right, y'all.
Yes.
Because God's trying to make you, shape you, and mold you.
Yes.
Can I get it with you? Did I tell you that you ought to not take the history of the text and anesthetize it from the history so you know why the text is written? You got to know what the prophet Jeremiah was. Because remember, it was the prophet Jeremiah that God told to go down to the potter's house.
Yes.
Teaching pastor. He said, go down to the potter's house and watch how he works the work on the wheel. He said he see that the body on the figure is marred, but yet he smashes it down and makes it again another. And because Jeremiah knew he can make it again another, he can preach this word even though it's hard to the children of Israel. He preached and said that if you just do what God asks you to do.
Yes.
He don't have to recreate. He can Yes. Yeah, you messed up, but he can repay you.
Yes.
Yeah, you screwed up in your head, but he can fix your mind.
Because yes.
I heard her own mother tell me one time, God is a mind regulator.
Yes.
If you don't think right and you don't know right, I heard other brothers say that he's a hard fixer.
Yes.
Can I get a witness up in here? Say, God will turn your life around. He'll pick you up, turn you around, place your feet on solid ground. What do you do until you get through? Until next time, New Jerusalem, part two is coming. Same time, same Jerusalem channel.